Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of August 26th. Fisher Blood Drive scheduled September 3rd. A Fisher Community Blood Drive will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. Thursday, September 3rd at River Valley Church of Christ Fellowship Hall by appointment only. Contact the Community Blood Center at 217-367-2204 or contact the center online. Donors are requested to wear a mask. Family Video Store to close later this year. A longtime Rantoul business will be closing in the fall. Family Video, 301 East Champaign Avenue, will close October 26. Assistant manager Kim Faulkner said the COVID-19 virus hit the business hard and it has not recovered. She estimated the store was closed for 3 months, and while business had gone down over the years, it dropped off even more after the store reopened. Faulkner said she has worked at the business for 5 or 6 years, and in that time I've seen a decline in business. I guess we could be considered a small business to a degree, and those are the ones being hit the hardest, Faulkner said. Competition from entities such as Redbox and streaming services, among others, cut into the business's share of the home entertainment market. In addition to renting and selling DVDs and Blu-ray movies, the store rented video games and sold CBD oil. The store employs 4 people and had been listed for sale for more than a year. Faulkner said a buyer has not been found for the building. The business will no longer rent any of its products. Until the closure, all items will be for sale. Faulkner said only items already marked for sale will be sold initially. The rest of the merchandise will be sold upon direction from corporate personnel. On its website, the company said it is the largest movie and game rental chain in the United States, operating more than 500 stores in 20 U.S. states and Canada. Just as video rental stores helped to kill the neighborhood movie theater, stores such as Family Video are making way for a new generation of entertainment options. Rantoul fails to land state girls softball tournament. The IHSA state softball tournament won't be coming to Rantoul next year or the year after. The village of Rantoul had bid to have the tourney played beginning next year at the under construction Rantoul Family Sports Complex going up on the village's west side. The IHSA, however, awarded the tournament for 2021 through 25 to Peoria's Louisville Slugger Complex. East Peoria's East Side Center had hosted the tournament since 2001. Rantoul was one of 5 bidders for the event. Rantoul Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower said the village is disappointed, but said it could benefit in the long run. This bidding process provided us with a great learning experience, Eisenhower said, and although disappointed we were not chosen to host this event, we strongly believe once the complex is completed, the lessons we learned this time will lead us to great success hosting future state, regional, and national events. Eisenhower said some community members helped to support the village's efforts to land the tournament and cited Visit Champaign County for its role. Rantoul was hoping to lure the event away from its longtime home with the promise of a new complex situated right alongside Interstate 57 that will feature 8 turf fields for a variety of sports. 3 of those fields are set to be equipped to handle softball games, with 1 described as a championship softball field. Eastside Center has multiple softball fields at its complex, but only uses 1 diamond for its state tournament games, and none of its fields feature a turf playing surface, an aspect Eisenhower is touting. With our facility being an all-synthetic turf surface, it will greatly reduce concerns about rainouts or long delays following a rain event, Eisenhower said. We believe we have a high-quality facility in a community and county which is very supportive of high school athletics. We know eventually we will have hotels adjacent to the complex, which will be a benefit to teams and their fans. A local 7-person group also plans to build an entertainment facility next to the sports complex that will include miniature golf, an arcade with 10 to 12 machines, bar, snack bar, and gaming machines. The facility will take up 2 of the 3 acres that the group owns. The group said the facility will provide an ideal location for fans and others to go between games at the sports complex. Eisenhower said groundbreaking on the arcade mini golf facility could take place in October. The village worked in conjunction with Visit Champaign County to put together its bid for the state softball tournament, with discussions between the two entities starting last fall. Champaign is set to host three IHSA state tournaments during the 2021 school year, eight football state title games at Memorial Stadium in late November, the three-class state wrestling meet in February at State Farm Center, and the four-class boys basketball state tournament in March at State Farm Center. But Visit Champaign County CEO Jane DeLuce said her organization wanted to go after a girls' sport. "We've been working on it actively," DeLuce said. "Softball seemed like a wonderful bid, and Rantoul was willing to go after it. We submitted the bid together with their input. We're supportive of not only what the complex field will be, but also the video board and the amenities that they'll have there." Mike Kuhn, director of sports, events and film for Visit Champaign County, said, "While we are certainly disappointed not to be selected for the IHSA state softball finals during this round, Visit Champaign County is excited for the possibilities being presented by the state-of-the-art Rantoul Family Sports Complex. We believe that when completed, the complex will provide a memorable atmosphere for thousands of athletes from around the state and the Midwest. Much like the other IHSA finals we host, our community has been 100% behind the effort to bring the state's best softball athletes to our area. We thank the IHSA staff and board for an opportunity to present our bid to them." Fisher students attending school 4 days a week. In-person school began in Fisher last week. Students will attend each day but Wednesday, which is set aside for online learning and deep cleaning. Grade school principal Jake Palmer told the board that most in-person classes in that building will be small, including third grade with sections of 17 and 18 students, and kindergarten with just 12 students. 40 grade schoolers will be educated online exclusively, and 33 students at the junior-senior high. Superintendent Barb Thompson said a third party, Edmentum Incorporated, will bring that instruction at a cost to the district of $12,400 for the first semester. Thompson said parents can opt out of that at semester's end and return to regular school in January. Thompson said her hope is to add Wednesday as an in-person instruction day in the next few weeks as administrators evaluate how things are going. Palmer showed a video with his students' parents online and conducted a Zoom session for any parent who wanted to join in, taking live questions. Palmer told the board he was excited to begin the year and get the kids back to where they belong in school. Junior-senior high school principal John Kelly said class sizes in his building will be 18 students or fewer. Students won't use the lockers and won't change for physical education. Open house for the parents will be virtual. Parents can certify their children's health at home by going online, and scanners will read the student information via their ID lanyards. Temperatures will be checked again at school. Thompson outlined the proposed fiscal year budget. She foresees a $319,000 deficit, provided the state can contribute at least as much as last year, a big uncertainty. As usual, the largest deficit is in the education fund, $229,000. She projects a deficit of $67,000 in the operations and maintenance fund, but being $50,000 to the good in the transportation fund. The increased minimum wage has had an effect on the IMRF retirement fund for non-certified personnel, and Thompson estimates it will run a deficit of $80,000. The budget is available for review over the next month, and the board set a public hearing on it for 6:15 p.m., Monday, September 21st, just prior to the regular monthly board meeting. Also, Thompson told the board grant money made possible a new concrete floor in the high school, greenhouse, and a new lift for the auto shop. The athletic boosters covered the $2,500 installation costs of the Pixelot cameras in the high school gym and at the football field. Subscriptions are available to the NFHS network, and those interested can catch both home and away games virtually. Rantoul man injured by attack in his front yard. A Rantoul man was beaten Monday evening in the 700 block of North Maplewood Drive after he was approached by two men asking for money. Police Sergeant Rodney Sullivan said the victim was talking to a friend in his driveway when two men approached him and asked him if he had any money. The victim said he did not and began to walk toward his residence when the two men allegedly attacked him. The pair battered him before running from the area. Sullivan said the 60-year-old man sustained injuries to his hand and arm as well as a laceration to the top of his head. He was transported by ambulance to Carl Hospital, Urbana. The two suspects were described as black males between the ages of 16 and 25. One was wearing a white t-shirt and blue jeans, and the other was wearing a blue shirt. RCS school closure guidelines set if students or teachers test positive. The Rand Hill City Schools Board last week approved a metric by which a school would be shut down in the event a teacher or student tests positive for COVID-19. Board members said such planning is necessary. That was evident at the nearby Paxton Buckley Lota School District, where Superintendent Cliff McClure said a fourth grade had tested positive for COVID last week. The metric approved by the RCS board mandates that if a teacher tests positive, the A and B day classes that he or she teaches must take their lessons remotely for 14 days. The same will be followed if at least two students test positive in one classroom. Also, if three students from at least two different grade levels in a building get COVID, the whole building will learn remotely for 14 days. The measure passed 4-2 with Sandra Ulott and Joan Fitzgerald voting against. The Blend Ed Academy arrangement splits students into A day and B day groups. Each student attends 2 days of classes for 4 hours in the morning. A day students attend Tuesdays and Thursdays, while B day students are in class Wednesdays and Fridays. All students are required to have at least 5 hours of instruction a day, so they will do additional hour of work at home in the afternoon in a variety of subjects ranging from PE to music to art online, as well as some additional core work. Enrollment drops. Superintendent Michelle Ramage said enrollment declined by 163 students from last year at this time. As of August 19th, there were 1,656 children, including pre-kindergarten students enrolled at RCS. She said district-wide, 57% of students are enrolled in the Blend Ed Academy, while 43% are enrolled in Learn Academy, all remote. That percentage varies greatly between building to building, Ramage said. Pleasant Acres Elementary, for example, has 58% of its students enrolled in Blend Ed learning, while at Eastlawn Elementary, it's only 31%. Asked if some of the 163 students have unenrolled, Ramage said some of them probably have. RCS held its first meal distribution of the new school year last Monday. Meals are distributed for the entire week that day, and 2,480 meals were distributed, which is much lower than the typical 10,000 meals a week the district was distributing in the spring. Ramage said she doesn't know the reason for the drop, but said perhaps it's because the district is now required to check off the student's name, whereas before anyone could come in and get meals. In the spring, you could pull up. You didn't even have to provide a name or live in town, Ramage said, adding the number of meals was expected to increase this past Monday. Because of the lower numbers, the distribution window was shortened by an hour to 4 to 6 p.m. Previously, it had been 3 to 6 p.m. Assistant Superintendent Jennifer Frericks updated the board on two grant applications. RCS applied for a $104,970 competitive federal digital equity grant through the CARES Act. The purpose was to fill the digital divide for devices and hotspots for students, Frerich said. RCS would use the money for teletherapy software, Chromebooks, hotspots, and Cisco web conferencing units. The district will also apply for an $8,600 federal professional learning grant designed to provide educators and families with professional development around digital citizenship and devices. If received, Rantoul St. Malachy School would also receive a portion of funds. The board voted to approve a $25,800 contract with Presence to provide interactive services with school psychologists and speech pathologists, allowing those personnel to perform the same services they have provided in person in the past. The contract includes professional development to show school psychologists and speech pathologists how they can perform the services virtually. It also includes a component in which parents will be shown how to use the service. Allison Didier, Director of Special Education, said more than 200 RCS students receive speech services. Last year, between our school psychologist and our speech pathologist, they did 167 evaluations of students, Ramage said. We will still be obligated to do this school year. The board voted to approve a $69,609 contract with Rantoul Police Department for school resource officer services. That amount covers 37 weeks of service. The board was introduced to new Broadmeadow Elementary Principal Amy Blomberg. Blomberg was hired and began her job in July, but due to limited in-person board meeting attendance, was not able to meet the board in person. Blomberg previously served as assistant principal at Garden Hope Academy in Champaign. She had also served as principal for that school's summer program since 2017. The board learned of three Freedom of Information Act requests, two by Jack Anderson and one by Deborah Sweat. One by Anderson was for student awards and honors and cost the district $1,558, including $871 in employee cost and $687 in attorney cost. A second Anderson FOIA request, also for student awards and honors, cost $1,312, including $749 for employee cost and $562 attorney cost. The SWET FOIA question regarding reopening cost $23, all of which was employee cost. In its first year, Fisher Farmers Market has seen growth. It started slowly, then increased. More and more vendors are exhibiting their wares at the Fisher's Farmer Market, held every second Saturday in the parking lot at the community center. Organized by Jordan and John Scott and Holden Heiser, this is the first time in years, maybe ever, the town has had a farmers market, Jordan Scott said. The market is held from 8 a.m. to noon. The next one will be Saturday, August 28th. It's been really good, Jordan Scott said. We had five or six vendors the first week. Every week we've had a few more. One week it dropped off because of the 4th of July and the weather. This past week we added a food truck that's available around 10 a.m. The Scotts, who live just outside of town, sell chicken eggs. There's a variety of products for sale, most of it local. Items such as soaps, honeys, and jams, and of course produce are for sale. One vendor sells duck eggs, which are a little smaller than chicken eggs. Some are spotted, depending on the duck. We have a good turnout of customers, Scott said. A lot of people come up on foot, or some people drive up. Some people come up on their golf carts. We, of course, are abiding by the Champaign County Health Department guidelines. Masks and plenty of hand sanitizer are available. Scott said the market presented an opportunity in several ways. Due to what's going on in the world right now, we wanted to give them an outlet and support our local businesses in town. She said some high school and college students have masks as well as assorted bath and spa items, homemade soaps and candles. One woman sells stationery and handmade cards. And farmers are on hand to sell produce. We're very excited to continue to see where this is going to head, Scott said. We're thankful for all the people who have given us their support. Anyone interested in being a vendor may contact Scott through the Fisher Area Farmers Market page on Facebook or on the Fisher Community Facebook page. Normally we would turn to the death notices for the week at this time, but as we have none to report, we will continue with local news and opinion. And from the opinion page, Kenny Chumley, a number of parallels between World War II England and today. I'm an avid reader of H.V. Morton, who during the 1930s became the best-paid author in the world by writing travelogues. In Search of England, In Search of Scotland, etc., he was a gifted writer who wove history, local anecdotes, legends, and an elegant style into all his books. In May 1939, anticipating that war was coming, Morton set out on a road trip to enjoy a last glimpse of pre-war England. 5 months later, after war had been declared, he retraced his steps to see how England had changed. His book, I Saw Two Englands, describes what he found. Incredibly, many things he said about wartime England apply to virus-time America. We have accepted the unthinkable with resignation. That is the distinctive quality of this age, and whether the future were to be bright or grim, this year in England would be like no other we had ever known. This characterization well summarizes this year. At a Wellington bomber factory, Morton asked, "How do you invent a bomber?" He was told, "No one really invents a bomber. All we do is build up on what already exists, improve it, apply new theories, and so on. All aircraft design is the accumulation and the application of experience. Viral vaccines and planes are developed the same way. The wartime blackout drove millions of people into their own homes. It killed the life of great cities at tea time and filled them with an eerie silence and a mystery. So frightening was it at first that even the burglars stayed at home. The lockdown has had the same effect on us. Early on, even criminals were afraid to leave home. In Gloucester, however, Morton found young people flaunting the curfew. The streets were black as ink. The pavements were crowded with young people walking up and down, surging, singing, catcalling, and whistling. Young people defying stay-at-home orders in order to party. Some things never change. The bewilderment and irritation the English faced over gas masks is reflected in our irritation with face masks. 1939's clap for your carers is echoed in our praise for frontline health workers. 1939's incessant griping over government's ineptness can be heard today around the clock. Musicians performing for locked-in flat or apartment dwellers has been updated to digital performances delivered over YouTube and Zoom. Morton didn't realize it, but what he found applies to any era in which ordinary people find themselves in life-changing and life-threatening situations. At the end of his book, Morton told how his country had rallied to meet the crisis. People scarcely on speaking terms have come together. Danger has given us a common purpose. It has given us a meeting place. It has made England almost merry again. It has blown to a flame smoldering local loyalties and traditions. It has roused the English genius for improvisation. The indomitable spirit Morton found in a war can be found today in a pandemic. Kenny Chumbly is a lifelong resident of Rantoul. He's a minister, author, and publisher. And now an opinion from Scott Reeder from Springfield. An argument for why children should be in school. This week I watched my three daughters head off for school after a long and frustrating 5 months away from their classrooms. Like any parent, I felt a mixture of pride and apprehension as they went out the door. My children are among the 10% of school-age Illinois youngsters who will be attending school in person 5 days a week. That number in itself is stunning. COVID-19 has so altered our society that 90% of the state's pupils are learning in a different setting than they were just a year ago. According to the Illinois State Board of Education, most public school students, 59%, will be beginning the school year in a remote learning setting, usually over a computer. The remaining 31% will be learning in a blended environment, where some days they are being taught remotely, and other days they are in a classroom. After months of studying the different educational paths, I have to concede that they all have drawbacks. I don't want my children, or anyone's, to contract a virus. On the other hand, I believe the ideal environment for youngsters to learn is in school with a teacher present. That's not such a radical notion. It is how students have been taught for centuries. Before choosing to send my kids back to school, I reviewed their school's COVID-19 safety plans. Mask wearing and social distancing will be strictly enforced in the Catholic schools they attend. Desks will be disinfected between students. Hand washing augmented with hand sanitizing will occur multiple times during the day. Is it a risk-free plan? No. But it would seem the best of less than ideal alternatives. Unfortunately, many school boards have focused on reducing liability for school districts rather than holistic solutions for the child. We need to ask ourselves if children are safer in a structured environment such as a school or being home without parental supervision. Even when alternate adult supervision is available while a parent works, it's often with an older family member such as a grandparent. Elderly people are the most vulnerable group during this pandemic. We should be seeking to limit their exposure rather than increase it. And let's be honest, if they aren't in school, they will likely be somewhere in a group that may be a greater risk to disease spread. And if students are left alone at home while parents work, this too can be dangerous. But more important, let's not downplay the value of teachers in this equation. They are trained professionals who know how to impart knowledge. The more miles you put between the educator and pupil, the more difficult that becomes. High-speed internet availability is far from universal due to family income or geography. The presumption that all students will have ready access to the internet is false. There are no easy solutions. But it is important to remember that youngsters will eventually have to return to a classroom. Parents, educators, and school board members need to ask, what are the risks of not having them there now? Scott Reeder is a veteran State House journalist and a freelance reporter. You can reach him at scottreeder1965@gmail.com. And now a guest commentary from Mark Wilkerson. Mr. Wilkerson is a resident of Rantoul and a member of the Village Board. I would like to express a few thoughts concerning my public statement concerning not being able to wear a face mask for personal medical reasons in the Village Board meetings. I appreciate anyone who expresses a sincere concern in a public forum, though sometimes a private conversation can be more helpful for clarity and understanding of situation more perfectly. I am thankful for those that are sincere enough to be willing to speak about issues that concern them, both publicly and privately. I appreciate the opportunity to have done so recently with a concerned party about my inability to wear a face mask while fulfilling my duties as a Village Board member. To be clear, I care for people and take sicknesses seriously. I have no desire to infect anyone with something that I may have, thus I strive to practice proper personal etiquette in both public and private venues. I do respect science, though I understand that the same data evidence can be interpreted differently by smart, well-meaning people of integrity. I do hold to the axiom that wearing a face mask for long periods of time, which will vary person to person, does not promote good health, as our bodies are designed to inhale and exhale without restriction for optimal function and performance. I certainly respect those that may disagree with me, and I do my best to oblige and wear a face mask when I can, as I conduct business in stores, etc., where it is deemed necessary and where 6 feet social distancing is not possible and or clear barriers are not in place. I do have a medical contraindication to the prescription of face mask wearing, which causes me much discomfort. As far as the premise demanding that face masks are the answer to slow the spread of a virus is solid science, only time will truly tell. I do think it has become more political than it should have. Much of it seems to be for optic appeasement and not as much about its scientific effectiveness. Whatever your opinion is, I respect your right to hold a sincere opinion different than mine, and don't think you are a bad person if we don't see things the same way on this or other issues. Like I have said previously, I do not like the government's overreaching restrictions during this whole ordeal, and like you, am looking forward to getting back to a more enjoyable and normal existence. I have chosen faith, not fear, and am trusting my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to grant me daily protection, provision, and wisdom. I love this village and have hope for a bright future for all that call Rantoul home. Let's promote unity with maturity and positivity and not foster hate, division, and negativity. Don't change your convictions unless you decide that you have been wrong, but challenge yourself to work with others in spite of the differences to see positive change. I enjoy serving our village as a trustee and desire to fulfill my duties safely and with integrity. I would be honored to speak with anyone that would like to discuss this or other issues with me. You can find my contact information via the village website or my church's website, www.maranatharantoul.com. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of August 26th. Be well. I hope to read with you again soon.